Welcome to Female Empowered, a podcast for female fitness and wellness professionals and business owners looking for real talk about the ins and outs of the industry. I'm Krista Gurka, an accidental entrepreneur turned founder and CEO of a multi-million dollar health and wellness business. In this podcast, I'll be sharing expert insights and having real conversations about what it means to show up, thrive, and of course, get paid. We'll talk about what works, what doesn't, and what really happens behind the scenes of a client-based business, all so you can take away sound advice and actionable steps that help you become a more successful and confident business owner, all on your own terms. So let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Female Empowered. I am your host, Krista Gurka, and I'm going to apologize because I have a little bit of a cough today. It's mostly allergies. I just got back to Florida. I was on vacation in California and I got to see some amazing people out there. And total aside, but as most of you know that follow the show, I have a mastermind, a mentorship for female healthcare wellness and boutique fitness owners. And I myself am also a member of a mastermind with other boutique fitness and wellness owners. And while I was out in California, I met two of the women, female founders that are in the mastermind. I got to attend their studios, classes at their studios. And, you know, I just wanted to point out that these women I did not know before 2 years ago, and I met in person just probably a couple months ago. And now I feel like they're going to be my friends for life. So that is kind of the same thing that we try to foster in our inner circle and in our Beyond the Movement FitBiz Foundations program, is that sense of community and friendship among the women in the group. And I just want to say, I'm super, super grateful for the friendships that I've created in the mastermind that I am in. And that's all. I got on a total aside from that. But so let's get into the show today and what we're going to talk about. What we're actually going to talk about is dealing with problem clients. Most of us, all of us listening to this, unless you're totally found this podcast accidentally, what we talk about here is how to run, how to grow, how to start, how to scale a successful and profitable, I want to add that, boutique fitness, boutique wellness, and healthcare business. So we are all service providers. And as service providers, as such, we have to interact with other Homo sapiens, other human beings. And oftentimes, in person, even though a lot of us have grown our businesses or adapted our businesses to be more online or sometimes more telehealth, where maybe it's not always face-to-face, but we are still speaking, interacting with human beings, okay? And when we do that, there is bound to be poor communication or difficulties or what we, you know, call in our business just people that are problem clients. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is how to deal with them. What is the underlying reasoning behind why they actually exist? And the things that we as owners have to, the responsibility we have to take when, you know, we talk about problem clients and we have to look inward and say, well, how did I create this situation? Okay. So the number one thing that I tell people of why, when they say, you know, oh, this person's such a problem, or they're always giving us a hard time, is when we really dig down deep and try to figure out why they are problem clients, there's two things that usually pop up on the surface. One is that these companies don't have, these businesses don't have their mission, vision, and values clearly outlined, okay? So they don't know what they stand for. They don't know what their why is. They don't know who they're trying to attract. And then the second thing is that whole like ideal community, ideal customer, ideal buyer. Who is it that is the perfect person for their business, right? Because we are not for everyone. Could everyone benefit from our services? Absolutely. Are there going to be ideal people that will benefit more? Yes. And niching down is how we can set ourselves apart from others in the marketplace, others in our industry, others, you know, in our community. And so understanding what it is that you stand for, your mission, vision, and values, which I just did a podcast episode on that not that long ago, very recently. And also understanding who your ideal customer, ideal community, ideal buyer is. Okay. And the more narrow you can actually get with that, the less problems, and I'm doing this in air quotes if you're watching me on video, the less problems you will have. Okay. So some of the reasons when we don't have strong mission, vision, and values or ideal customers is that we don't have enough of a strong value proposition. In other words, what that means, what's a value proposition is like, what kind of value are we adding to the client, to their life? Is it convenience? Is it financial? Is it quality? Is it a problem that they're having to solve, right? So we need, by knowing exactly who we're trying to attract, we can then dictate, that's not the word I'm trying to use. I wanted to say delineate that. That's not the word either, but we can truly articulate what our value proposition is. What kind of value are we specifically adding to the individual? So if you're a mobile practice, a concierge practice, the value could be that you're saving them time and money by going to them, okay? By going to their house or to their office, which means they're not going to have to travel, which means they get that time back for work. So it's going to cost them less money and less time. Right. Another reason is kind of what I was talking about with the ideal customers is we're selling to the wrong people. We're putting our messaging out there to the wrong people. So if we are a cash-based facility, which is who I mostly work with, then, and we're putting it out to people that really want to use their insurance, and we're selling to the wrong people. Those aren't the people that are going to buy from us. All right. Or we actually have no idea who we're trying to attract. No idea. We're like, oh, everyone will be good. Well, no, like there's, if you're selling to everyone, you're selling to no one. All right. Cliche, but it's true. So let's talk about the value proposition and the problems that people are looking at. So I really like to give people on the, that listen to this podcast, very tangible information, actionable strategies that they can use. So let's say the problem that these people are having are finding people who are invested in their own wellness. Okay. So they are, their niche, like my ours is teaching mindful movement. Whether we're talking about physical therapy or whether we're talking about Pilates, our niche is teaching mindful movement. All right. So what is our unique selling proposition? We have month-to-month subscriptions, which means you can cancel at any time. You're not locked into a long-term commitment. We have flexible schedules, morning, evening, afternoon, and our classes are taught by physical therapists mostly. So that's our unique selling proposition. So, right? So we are looking, we are going after the problem we are solving, okay? We are going after people who are invested in their wellness. So in other words, maybe they have had some injuries before. Those are going to be people that are really going to love that our classes are taught by physical therapists. If they're young and healthy, they might not care. Okay. So those are not the people we're trying to attract with our marketing. So as you can see, by like really by niching down our services, mindful movement, and having a unique selling proposition, classes taught by physical therapists, Pilates in the Grove is able to stand out from others in our industry. as different, not necessarily better. It's better to those people that are looking for that specific value proposition. So it's different. We're not saying that we're better. Okay. We're saying that we're different and we're trying to attract people that are going to resonate with that difference. Okay. So if we approach each and every customer that has that, this specific problem, it will speak way more to them. Okay. And then it's easier for us to convert them into long-term clients. All right. So most of the time, like I said, sometimes if our service, they might be great for a small subset of customers. So if you're a pelvic health practitioner or you're a scoliosis practitioner, you're going after a very unique subset of customers, not for everyone. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't treat someone that has generalized back pain, but your most marketing, you're going to be going after people that are in that specific subset. Okay. If you're a HIIT studio, if you're a yoga studio, right, you are going after a specific subset of people. Okay. So if you are selling to everyone or you're selling to the wrong customer, you're going to totally miss the mark. So you need clients. You need to be going after clients that one have a need for your services. So if you're selling to someone that has scoliosis, you know, if you're a scoliosis therapist or scoliopilates instructor, you're going after people that have scoliosis. So that's a qualifier, right? They have the budget for your services. So this again is where I talk about if you're cash based or you're Pilates, which tends to be a higher price point, we should be going after people that have disposable income and can afford our services. Also, people that are the right fit for our business. They align with our values and our mission and our vision. And you can actually reach them, meaning you know where they are in the marketplace. Do they get their information from Facebook? Do they get it from Instagram? Are they on Twitter? Do you want to have a workshop? Do you want to get to them in person? Are they reachable? Okay. So how do you solve this, I don't want to say problem, but this need in your business? You really have to know who your ideal customers are. Who are the ideal people that are the kind of people that you want to work with and that you can solve their problem? Okay. Understanding deeply, really down as much as possible to their pain points and goals is very helpful. All right. And then even better if you're choosing a growing market. So for example, the boomer generation, right? They're getting older now. So they are maybe needing more services from a physical therapy perspective. Or the millennial generation is starting now to have children, right? So if you're a pelvic health specialist, like doing messaging for millennials, okay? So a growing market, maybe, you know, I don't even know, what is it? Gen Z? Is that my kid? I'm not even sure. Gen Z out there, right? If they're starting to have injuries from athletics or things of that nature, that could be a growing market. Okay. So what are some problem clients and how to deal with them? All right. These are common things that we see in our business, as well as is very common that you guys will hear in your own businesses or in Facebook chats and other communities. So number one, we all hate these people, but the angry client. None of us want to have to deal with angry clients. Right? It's just no bueno. It's not fun. And I'm sure you have been I've certainly been an angry client before. I was definitely angry. If you were watching my stories when I was traveling, the flight attendant found my AirPods on the floor, didn't ask anyone if they were anyone's around. And she gave them to someone in Miami and we took off to California. And I was angry. Yes, I was very angry that she didn't even ask anyone in the row, and they were literally in the row that I was sitting in. They'd fallen out of the seat back pocket. Okay. So I'm sure that you've been angry before. So understanding the angry client, why do people get angry? Okay. They get angry for a number of reasons. We messed up. Like as a business, we screwed something up. Okay. Or number two, the client's just angry about something completely different and they're taking it out on us. They're being unreasonable. Okay. Two reasons usually. Now, how do we prevent angry clients? I'm a big believer that if you screw something up, you should fix it. So as a business owner, so for example, we recently had a scheduling error where I didn't think somebody was scheduled. They reached out to me directly. I said, oh no, we don't have anything scheduled to the instructor. So the instructor didn't show up and we had a client show up. Now, there was a number of things that fell through the cracks on this one. Number one, that I allowed the client to reach out, the instructor to reach out to me directly and not go to, through the front desk. So that was bad on my part. And number two, that the instructor didn't look at her schedule. And number three, that I didn't look at the schedule. So there was a number of things that went wrong there, but we screwed up. That was definitely on our end. And it was mostly my fault because I was the one that told the instructor this. So what we did was we gave them a complimentary session of their choice, along with a lot of apologies. Okay. And then I realized like, we need to make sure that we stick to the process and I shouldn't do that again in the future. Okay. If there's a scheduling error, even if it's your software, but you don't technically, like it was a software's problem, there was a glitch in your scheduling software, that's still your responsibility as an owner. What can you do to get ahead of it? Most of the time, people just want to hear you say, you know, we messed up, our fault. I really encourage everyone on my team not to argue with people because the more you argue, the more it escalates. And so saying things like, we very much understand, right? How can we make this better? What is it that we can do to help you, you know, navigate this situation? Let me ask you a question. Are you tired of working with people who just don't align with your vision or value your services? Do you want more of the right people coming in your doors? Well, the only way to do that is to really know who your ideal customer is and what it is they want from you. So did you catch that? It's about what they want, not what you think they need. This requires a bit of critical thinking and researching on our part, none of which they taught us in school. That's why I created the Ideal Customer Intensive, just for female healthcare, wellness, fitness, and movement professionals like you. This framework breaks down exactly how to define your ideal client, how to get them to tell you their wants and needs, and how to find the right messaging to sell your unique way of serving them. Go grab this Ideal Customer Intensive now at www.kristagurka.com/ICA. Now back to the show. And so, you know, it's really good, I think, to verbalize things from the client's perspective. So saying something, for example, you know, I realize this caused X problem for you. You left work early to come to the session and we didn't have it. Let me explain what happened and what we're going to do to fix this issue. So whatever that be, and then I would empower your front desk people, your administrators, your instructors, your managers, whomever that is, to make those decisions on your behalf. Okay. So one of the things I really say, you know, don't, you know, make excuses. Just say you're right. Absolutely. That was our fault. And we're going to make this right. And here's how. Right. We shouldn't try to get defensive. This is why I don't believe in arguing back. I'm saying, you know, I understand. You're absolutely right. I understand. All right. So there was a quote that someone sent to me once when I was talking about a client that was very upset about something. And it was a combination of them being a little bit unreasonable and something that a mistake that happened. But they sent me something that said, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Right. So I really also try not to deal with angry clients via email communication. I try to speak to them in person, okay, or over the phone, so that we're not escalating a conflict. Because again, sometimes in the written word, it's misconstrued, right? You can't understand or interpret dialect and tone and everything like that. So explain your plan to get back on track. Now, if the client is being unreasonable, right, I would then say, so for example, here's a perfect example. Everything talks about in our business talks about our cancellation policy. It's in the reminder text. It's in the reminder emails. It's in all of our communication. We remind them when we make the appointment. Now, if someone is canceling and we're trying to uphold our cancellation policy and they're being extremely unreasonable, and they've canceled several times, right? Then we can say, you know, I'd just like to refer you back to the agreement that you signed when you started, as well as the email communication that goes back and forth, which is again, why I think it's really important to have a contract and have a clear scope of like what they're agreeing to, policies and procedures, right? And it's okay to hold the clients accountable for what they agreed to, right? Membership cancellation dates. Okay. You can make the decision as a business owner if you want to have gray areas, but I highly, highly, highly encourage you to try not to veer from them unless there's really extraneous circumstances. All right. Try to move away from emotion and focus on the facts of the situation and move it up the chain only when necessary. All right. And there might be times where you have to fire a client. I don't believe that the clients are always right, but I do believe that they are always worthy of our respect. I do believe they're always due our respect, but they might not always be right. They might not always be right for your business, which again, why it's super important to be in line with your mission, vision, and values. All right. All right. So if we now move from the angry client, which we all hate to deal with, I think you would be in agreement with that, with me on that. And we move to clients that have, or that there's just differing expectations, right? You expect one thing, the client expects another. This happens from time to time. And so some of the reasons that this happens is because there are not clear communication. There is not clear communication. Assumptions have been made and there's a lack of planning. Okay. So this can also happen with staff members or team members, right? So usually I will say this, usually if we get down to it, it's our fault as a business or as a leader, as an owner, if we have not clearly communicated expectations, whether that be to a client or a team member, all right? We didn't ask enough questions. We didn't clearly communicate the policies and procedures or the cancellation policy, right? Clarity wasn't established when this person became a client or when this team member became an employee. So learning to ask the right questions is one of the best skills you can develop as a business owner and as a leader. All right. So one of the things that is, again, if there's differing expectations, then whenever they become apparent, right, hopefully you can address them before this person becomes the angry client. All right. So saying, you know what, I apologize that wasn't clearly delineated. I'm actually thankful that you brought this to my attention because now we're going to be able to amend this in our employee handbook or our new client communications or our contracts or our membership contracts, et cetera, et cetera. And then maybe you can establish clearer expectations moving forward. So oftentimes in the example of the cancellation policy, we usually give everyone a first time get out of jail free card, so to speak. So the first time they cancel, then we really say, you know, not to worry. Everyone gets a cancellation kind of freebie, but just know in advance in the future, if this happens X, Y, Z. So now we're doing it verbally written and we're reiterating our cancellation policies. Okay. So going back each and every time something happens, you're like, oh, I wasn't sure. I didn't realize that wasn't clear to you. Then make sure that you get that clearly written down again in your contract, in your policy and procedure. Is it on your website? Is it in your email communication or text communication? Is it in your employee handbook if you're dealing with a staff member? All right. So it's important to then document that and improve it as, you know, you move along in your business. Okay. So another thing that happens that creates problem clients is that when we as business owners have taken on too much, okay, have we as business owners agreed to too many projects? Have we said yes to too many things? Or even if your instructors have done that. Okay. So it's quite easy for sometimes for us to take on too much, especially when we have not mastered the art of delegating. Okay. When we don't have a team, when we're not really sure what we should be doing. So we're doing all of the things. Okay. So again, this stuff happens for a number of reasons. One, because you're awesome. You're an amazing person and you want to do all the things and you have a hard time saying no. All right. You're afraid not to take on a new project because you're afraid of leaving money on the table. We've all been there, right? Now, how to prevent taking on too much work so that you don't have differing expectations from other people and you don't create angry clients, okay, is to set a future start date to start with people. So in other words, like we are going to start this data migration, not now because we're too busy. We're going to start it 3 months from now. All right. So also give new clients as many tools as possible early on. So in other words, have a nurture or welcome sequence. So this is not all on you. I also recommend this highly when we're talking about onboarding staff members, have a bunch of this pre-recorded. So it's not you taking your time doing it over and over and over and over again. So for new clients, right? Have an email that says, this is your login. This is our schedule. This is how to contact us. Da, 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 da. So it's very, very clear. All right. So once people are clear, then they tend not to have differing expectations and then they tend not to become angry. All right. So you also have to take onus on this and say, you know what? I took on too much. This is my fault. I'm going to make it right. Okay. Another way to stop from taking on too much is to say our schedule is full. Okay. So this oftentimes happens, especially when you're a solopreneur and you're like, well, I'm afraid to leave money on the table. So I'm going to take a client at 7 and then at 9 and then at 12:30 and then at 4. And you end up with a Swiss cheese schedule. Now, at the beginning of growing your business, that may be what's needed, right? To start building people. But once you become a little more established, you can say, you don't have to tell them why, but you can say, oh, I'm not available from 9 to 12. Okay. I don't have anything available. You don't have to tell them that that's the time you blocked off for administrative work. You can just say, I'm not available, or I'm not available on Fridays. I don't have anything open. Okay. So these are ways also for you to learn how to delegate better and for you to learn not to take too much on your plate so that you don't create angry clients. I'm going to take a sip of water. Sorry, my little throat here. Okay. Sorry about that. So now here's another type of client that drives me crazy, also because I'm a super type A person and I'm like, go, 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 go. So time wasters, they drive me crazy. They drive me crazy in regular conversation. But this is again, me, because I'm like always moving, 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 moving. So do you have clients? And I know we all do. I know you all do that have a million questions, right? Do they call you? Do they email you? Do they call you or text you on your personal phone? All right. All hours of the day, Sundays. Now, I have never had my business number linked to my personal cell phone. And that's why if you call my cell phone and I don't recognize your number, I won't answer it, because I'm always afraid that clients somehow got my number. Because I really set clear boundaries that business work is supposed to go through the business. Okay. Even if you're my friend, they call the business. All right. So one of the reasons people keep calling you for things is because you've allowed this to happen. Okay. We allow clients to monopolize our time. So if a client is, and I'm doing this in air quotes, wasting our time, it's because we are allowing it to happen. All right. We've trained our clients to waste our time. So we need to then untrain them. Okay. So how to prevent these kind of clients? Let them go to voicemail, which is sometimes what I will do. If you see that it's a person that's calling the studio that usually has a ton of questions and you have a client that's standing in front of you, or you know that you have an appointment in 2 minutes, let it go to voicemail. Okay. Delay some email responses. There's great autoresponders now that you can say, for example, when I was on vacation, you know, your email has arrived safely in my inbox. I check emails at the end of every business day, and I return emails in the morning of the following day. So that way the person just knows you're not ignoring them, but you're not going to return their email into that other day. Setting boundaries is okay. Okay. So allowing people to understand that they are not going to always get immediate access to you will help you learn how to control and take back some of your time. Okay. Try not to respond to emails at 2 o'clock in the morning. Wait, I now try not to respond to emails on the weekend anymore. Okay. Sometimes I do, just because I actually get some work done on the weekend, but it's because I want to get ahead for the next week, or I know I have something coming up on Monday, or I chose to take Friday off. Okay. So sometimes if you're setting healthy boundaries too, you can say to somebody, you know, we can discuss that at our next session. Or if your sessions are 50 minutes and you know this client has 10 minutes of questions, stop your session at 40 minutes so they can ask their questions. Okay. If they want to go overtime, then they can book with you. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be like, oh, looking at your watch 1 minute and they're, you know, this one time, but if they're doing it all the time, they're always asking to review things. They're always making you run over, or they're texting you on your personal cell phone and you don't want to have that. You don't want the boundary. It's okay to say, would you be okay to go, please call the studio. It's easier for all of our scheduling communication to happen through that. It also saves you from making a mistake that maybe they're asking you something and you forget to do it on the schedule. Like I said earlier, when we had an angry client, right, that I didn't follow the process, and that's what happened. So when we follow the process and it's easier to have everyone schedule through the studio or through the clinic, stick to that process. Okay. So those are ways definitely to avoid or control time wasters that are asking you question on question on question on question on question. Or can someone else ask your question? Like, there are people that call all the time, are like, can I speak with Krista? And, you know, my front desk, my girls at the front desk, they're amazing. The administrators, they know not to send the phone call to me. They can handle any question. They can schedule for me. I don't need to speak to the person. Like, so they are empowered to make decisions on my behalf. Okay. And so if the person doesn't want to speak to them, then when I speak to them, when I do call them back or via email, I say, you know, my girls, Nadia or Ariel, can handle that. They'll be able to help you in the future. All right. Now, I am actually very liberal with my time. I use Voxer with my coaching programs. That's pretty easy for me. If it's a long conversation, then I'll say sometimes we'll schedule a time to speak. But it's kind of a two-way street. So if it gets to the point that I think they're wasting my time, then I start to set those boundaries in place. But for the most part, everyone understands their boundaries, they understand my boundaries, and we work together to make it work. Now, the reason some of this has happened is because we set all of these systems in place. So everyone has very clear expectations. And if they don't, I learn to do that for the next time around. All right. So again, if you're finding that you are frequently having problem clients in your business, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that Mission, Vision, and Values podcast. It's really, really the crux of how you avoid these in the future. And then really going through like an ideal customer. And most of you are like, oh, I've done the ICA ideal customer avatar worksheet, but we can always know more about our clients. So if you're interested, we actually have an ideal customer workshop, an intensive masterclass. So if you want to go, I think it's like $15.